to get on the screen. So if you have a slip of paper, jot down notes as best as you can. If you want more notes when you're done, let me know, and you have an email address, I can email you. But I want to talk tonight on this thought of asking and receiving. The past several weeks, we've been dealing with what I would call the big areas of prayer, major areas of prayer, talking about praying in the Spirit, prayer being about a relationship and how we need to focus on worshiping God, developing our walk with God. And tonight's going to kind of be an overview of things we've discussed, but we're also going to be dealing with some things that we've not dealt with. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11 will be our starting text, and then we're going to deal with some other texts. But Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7 through verse 11, it's very familiar. I'll be reading from the NIV. Let's look at it. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" All of us have had experiences where it seemed that God didn't answer our prayers. And we established that at the very first week we began to talk about a better way to pray, where we've prayed about things, asked God for things. And days, weeks, months, and even years went by and nothing seemed to change. Where we went to God in prayer and asked for this and requested this, and it not turn around, and we not see God's hand show up, and God not move. But Jesus says in verse 7, "Ask, and it will be given." Isn't that what it says? In verse 8, Jesus says, "Everyone who asks receives." And yet so many times, that doesn't seem to be our experience. And if that's not our experience, the question we want to ask ourselves is, what's the problem? I mean, isn't it? If Jesus says, "Ask and it'll be given, and everyone who asks receives," and if we're asking and not receiving, then what's the problem? What gives if that's not what's happening in our life? Well, we know the problem isn't God. We know that God is true. In fact, the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." We know that God's word is steadfast and stable and forever settled in heaven. So God's word is true. We know that God has promised to hear and answer prayer. He said, "Call unto me and I will hear and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So what keeps us from receiving answers to our prayers? And so tonight I want to share with you 6 keys on how to receive from God. 6 keys on how to pray and ask and receive from God. So number 1, this isn't profound, this isn't deep, but number 1, ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, look at it again. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." And then verse 11, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Jesus makes it clear that God is ready to answer our prayers. How many believe that? God is ready and willing to hear and answer our prayers. Jesus didn't say it might be given.
He didn't say you might find. He didn't say it might be open. Jesus said those things will be done. He said it is with absolute certainty that if you ask, you will receive. That is what he said, isn't it? So the first step to receiving is to start asking. Jesus said those who ask, receive. But yet the reality is we seem to have a problem with asking. So many times what we call prayer really isn't prayer. We go to God and we talk about our problems, but we never really ask God to do anything. Remember, I told you weeks ago that informing God about what you're going through is not praying. It's not until you start requesting and asking God to intervene and asking God to change something that you start praying. And so when you're informing God and when you're complaining, you're not praying. To ask is to make a request. To ask is to make a petition. To ask is to say, God, this is what I need, and you ask Him to give it. And if you're not asking God to give it, you're not praying. And so how many have been guilty of going to God and never asking God for anything? But you thought you were praying. We do it. We complain. We talk about how bad it is. But we never ask. And Jesus says the first step to receiving is to go to God and ask God to meet the need. You see, you can't receive anything if you don't ask. That's not profound. That's simple, isn't it? Let me just put it plainly. If you don't pray, if you don't ask, you can't receive. Let me say it this way. An unoffered prayer is always an unanswered prayer. James 4:2, look at the last part of it. You do not have because you do not ask God. Let me say it this way. Ask not and you get not. If you don't ask, God can't answer. And the reality is, as I've already said many times, we spend time in what we call prayer, but we never make any kinds of requests. You have to ask. And you've heard me say before that when it comes to asking, you have to be specific. If you've had kids and grandkids, you know that kids and grandkids, they can be specific. They know how to ask. They know what they want. They know how much of what they want. And they're not afraid to ask. And yet when it comes to us getting older and going to God in prayer, we, for some reason, we're afraid to ask. But the first step to receiving is to go to God and ask. It's not hard. You go to God and ask. If you need $50, you go and you ask, God, I need $50. Preacher, that sounds too simple. Well, it is that simple. If you need healing, you go to God and you ask for healing. It's that simple. You don't go to God and say, God, I've got cancer in my body. And stop. You go and you ask God to heal you of cancer. You make a request. Is this making sense? But let me also say this. You have to learn how to pray on a regular basis. Because the reality is, and statistics tell us, most Christians don't have a prayer life. Which means that most Christians only pray when crisis hits. And if that's the only time you're praying, your praying's not going to be that effective. Because if you're only praying in crisis, I can guarantee you, you're not going to have the faith to get through to God.
That's why you've got to learn how to pray regularly and spend time with Him and have a relationship with Him. That way, when Christ does come, you can go to God and ask. Amen? The first key to receiving from God is asking. But secondly, this is kind of review some of this stuff. You've got to have faith. You want to receive from God, you've got to have faith. You've got to believe that God hears and answers prayer. If you want to receive from God, you have to have faith. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. There it is, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Notice this. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Faith is the key to receiving from God. Simply having a need doesn't mean your need's going to get met. Faith in God means your need's going to get met. And Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that without faith, you can't please God. Because you have to believe that God is, and that He rewards those who what? Seek Him. You've got to have faith. Look, what did James say? James says if you don't ask in faith, you shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. So the question is that, you may be thinking, well, how do I ask in faith? How do I ask in faith? Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This is a verse of Scripture that I keep going back to often. We're going to look at it again before the night's over. By faith, you have to believe that you already have it. You see, God hears and God answers, but you have to believe you already have it. So here's the question. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have to find out what God says in His Word, then stand on what God says, and rely on the fact that God will always do what He said He would do. And that's how you pray in faith. You tracking with me? You see, Abraham gives us an example of this when God told him he would have a son in his old age. Romans chapter 4, verse 20-21 says, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. You see, faith is not a blind leap. It's not jumping out on nothing. Faith is grounded in the Word of God. And so if God said it, you can believe it and trust that God's going to do it. And so when you ask based on what God said. And that's how you pray in faith. Because you know what God says. But guess what? If you don't know what God says, you can't pray in faith. That's why when you pray, I encourage you to sit there with an open Bible and pray. Read some and pray some. You've got to study this book if you want to learn how to pray effectively. You've got to read this book. You've got to know what it says if you want to pray. Asking in faith is an essential key to receiving answers to our prayers. If you pray and believe, you receive. But if you pray in doubt, you'll do without. I read that today. I was like, I got to add that to my notes. Let me read it again. If you pray and believe, you receive. But if you pray in doubt, you'll do without. But let me also add this to it. Acting in faith is also essential to answering prayer. You got to ask in faith, but guess what? You need to act in faith. James tells us in the second chapter, faith without works is dead. You see, there may be times that you'll have a part to play in the answer to your prayer. Because here's the thing, God will not do for you what you can do. And there may be times that the answer you need, God's waiting on you to do something before He does what He can do. For example, you may need a job. Well, guess what? God can get you the right job, but He's not going to fill out the application for you. You can pray for the perfect job and God can line it up for you, but He's not going to put ink on paper for you. You got a part to play. You got to put ink on paper and you got to talk to people. You got to act in faith. Amen? You got to be obedient. And when you do what you can do, guess what? God does what you can't. You've heard me say before, that's how I got in full-time ministry. You see, God wasn't going to write a resume for me. Oh, God could open doors anywhere He wanted to open doors for me, but God wasn't going to write a resume for me. And God wasn't going to dial phone numbers for me for preachers. I had to do that. And when I did that, guess what? God opened doors. Because here's the thing, I've been praying for years, God open doors and give me places to preach. Until finally one day God said, why don't you write a resume? And why don't you call some preachers? And why don't you mail your resume? And then watch what I can do. And when I did that, I ended up going to a church as a youth pastor. I had to put some action to my praying. Because you'll notice in Matthew 7 it says, ask. But then you got to seek. And you got to knock. You got to do something. You got to demonstrate your faith. Amen? And here's the, we just want to sit around and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And God's got the, in fact, God's already answered and God's already released that. But sometimes you just got to do something. Do what you can do and then God shows up. You got to pray in faith and sometimes you got to act in faith. In fact, here's the thing. Sometimes when it comes to finances, you're asking God for finances, and it may be that you have something in your hand that doesn't meet your need, and God says you need to let go of it, and God can bless and send more. Preacher, that don't make sense. Well, if what you have in your hand's not enough to meet your need, why are you holding on to it? When God can take it, multiply it, and send more. See, some of your mind's just spinning around like I don't understand all that. But here's the thing, that's what God does. You see, often God wants you to be a part of the answer. When God raised Lazarus from the dead, He could have easily rolled the stone away Himself. But no, He told them, y'all roll the stone away. Why? Because they could do that. And then He said, Lazarus, come forth. Thirdly, seek God's will. Prayer is not a blank check where we can ask God to do anything we want Him to do. If prayer is going to be answered, it has to be according to His will. It has to be according to His will. James 4, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. When we ask amiss, when we ask wrongly, God says no. But when we ask in line with His will, God always says yes. If you ask in line with God's will, God always says yes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Did you see that? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we have, what we asked of Him. You see, God's will is not some mystical, unknowable thing. God gives us His will right here in the pages of His Word. And yet there's some people that's like, preacher, I don't know God's will. I don't know what God wants me to do. Pick up the Bible. I don't know how I should pray. Well, pick it up and read it. Now, yes, there's going to be certain times, according to Romans 8, 26, where we don't know how to pray as we ought, and the Spirit intercedes with us with groanings, which we can't get out with words.
But for the most part, if you'll read this book and study the promises of God, you'll know how to pray. See, it is God's will for us to lay hold of the promises He's given us in His Word. What are some of the promises that we can lay hold of? Well, if you just look at the Lord's Prayer, we've studied it a little bit. Give us this day our daily bread. God's going to give us provision. He's going to give us our needs. Forgive us our debts, our sins. God wants to pardon us. Do not lead us into temptation. God wants to lead us and help us avoid situations that lead to sin. Deliver us from the evil one. He wants to help us overcome Satan's influence in our lives. Let me give you some other promises. Wisdom. God wants to give you wisdom. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And it says He'll give it to you. Provision. Philippians 4:19, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. You can stand on that. Here's another promise. All things working out for good. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Everything's going to work out. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's all going to work out. You can claim the peace of God. Isaiah 26:3, you'll keep Him in perfect peace whose mind and stayed on you. Listen, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live with anxiety. You don't have to live in worry. You can claim the peace of God over your life. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But again, let me just say what I said moments earlier. If you don't know that it's in here, you can't lay hold of it. Let me just say this. Anytime the enemy begins to attack your mind and try to take your joy or take your peace, one of the first things that ought to come out of your mouth is the Word of God. When he tries to put fear on you, that one of the first things that ought to come out of your mouth say, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I will not fear. That should come out of your mouth. And why do I say that? Because when Satan tried to tempt and test Jesus, three times Jesus said, it is written. But if you let the devil talk to you long enough and you don't come back with the Word of God, guess what? You're going to believe what the enemy says. And you're going to receive it. And guess what? You're going to walk around miserable. You're going to walk around in fear. You're going to walk around in worry. You're going to walk around in doubt. Are you understanding? Because here's the thing, you got to choose who you're going to believe. When things may not be going financially well in your life and the devil comes along and says, hey, you're not going to make it, the first thing ought to come out of your mouth, no, God's going to supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. My needs are met. That's got to come out of your mouth. And guess what? You can't wait. You find a Bible to open it up. Hey, where's that at? Where's that verse of Scripture the preacher keeps talking about? No, you got... Your Word have I hidden in my heart. You got to put it in there so that it just comes out. Satan begins to attack you and come against you and try to destroy your life. No weapon formed against me. Listen, you may not know the chapter and the verse and what book it's in, but you just need to know that it's in there somewhere. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And just let it come out of your mouth. It begins to attack you. Satan, I resist you. And you have to flee in the name of Jesus. And guess what? He has to leave you alone. But you have to know it's in there. And it has to be first thing that comes out of your mouth. You have to lay hold of it. Let me just say this. The devil's talking to us. Why aren't we talking back to him? Why don't we sit there and just let him talk to us? Jesus talked back to him. And he left. You know, Jesus talked about if you'll speak to the mountain, it'll leave. It's part of praying. We've got to know what the Bible says and lay hold of it and believe that it's ours. And if we'll ask anything that is the will of God, He'll hear us and listen to me. He answers immediately. Now, you may not see it immediately, but God answers immediately.
Let's look at Mark 11:24 again. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. When you believe you have it by faith, you will have it in the natural. It could be a day. It could be a week. It could be a month. It could be up to a year. But when you believe you already have it, it says you will have it. Isn't that what it says? When you believe you received it, it says you will have it. So here's the thing. Before I go any further, you cannot waver between doubt and faith. That just takes longer for it to manifest. You've got to stay in faith. You've got to keep believing. I have it. It's mine. The enemy may fight you and say, it's not yours, but you got to believe it's mine. Because Jesus said, if you believe that you received it, you will have it. Isn't that what he says? Now let's look at Daniel as an example. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. This will be on the screen. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Now we're going to skip down to verse 20 to 23 in Daniel 9. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. Now notice this. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I'd seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand it. But you see that while he's still praying, answer comes. How would you like to have that? While you're still praying. Well, let's look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and verse 3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. Now let's go down to verse 10 through verse 14. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I've now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns the time yet to come. Now, in chapter 9 of Daniel, Daniel prayed a prayer, and while he was still praying, his answer to prayer came in the form of Gabriel, giving him skill and understanding in the thing he desired. That's a quick answer to prayer. He hadn't said amen yet, and the answer came. In verse 23, Gabriel says God sent him at the very beginning of his prayer. As soon as Daniel opened his mouth to seek God, God sent Gabriel. But it took a short time before the answer ever came. Let's just say it was just a matter of a few moments. But that's a quick answer to prayer. God moved instantly, but it took a little time for the answer to ever come in the physical realm. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's been praying and fasting for 21 days. The answer took 21 days, 3 full weeks to ever manifest. Most people would say, well, why did God answer the first prayer so shortly and the second prayer took so long? But Daniel chapter 10 verse 12 says that God answered the second prayer instantly. Isn't that what it said? When Gabriel showed up, said, from the first day you opened your mouth, God heard your prayer and God sent me. But he said the prince of Persia withstood me. And I tell you, if you pray in faith and in line with God's will, God hears you instantly and God sends the answer. But it may not manifest immediately. Why? because Satan is trying to hinder the answer from coming. And so we blame God for not answering when it's not God's fault. Satan is trying to block answers from coming. People that God uses to send answers can be rebellious and not want to respond. That's why answers can be delayed. Is this beginning to make sense to you? It's not God's not answering. God hears, God answers. When it's His will, you pray in faith. God hears, God responds. But God works through people. Listen to me. God is a spirit and God works in the spiritual realm. You see, we want God to just all of a sudden, bam, send the answer. But the Bible says that Satan's the god of this world. Let me just explain it this way. When it comes to financial provision, God's not printing $100 bills in heaven and putting them in your mailbox. God has to work through people. And sometimes people can be rebellious and stubborn. And that's why you have to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. And the Bible says that whatever you bind and loose on earth is bound and loose in heaven. That's why sometimes you have to come against the enemy and get him out of the way so that the answer can come. And we blame God. God, why aren't you moving? And sometimes you just have to take authority and get the enemy out of the way so your answer can come. But, oh, it's God's fault why I hadn't got my answer yet. No. It's the enemy trying to stop what God wants to do in your life. And it's people that can be a hindrance of what God wants to do in your life. And sometimes it's you that can be a hindrance to what God wants to do in your life. As I said earlier, obedience. You said you could pray the right thing and believe that it's yours, but if you don't follow instruction, you just became a hindrance to the answer that God wants to give you. So here's the thing. Could it be tonight that you have slowed down what God wants to do in your life? And yet we blame poor old God. God, why hadn't you moved in my life? God, why hadn't you done it? When you look at this text, when God may have already done it, and it's just waiting to be received. When there's just an instruction that we need to do, and it could be ours. Well, maybe you need to find out what the hindrance is and get it out of the way, and then it flows. You see, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. You see, Satan's going to do anything he can to keep you from living the life that God wants you to live. And if that can mean hindering prayers, he's going to try to hinder prayers. Something to think about. There's a war taking place. And guess where your prayers go through when you pray? They got to go through that. See, some of your eyes are just like popped open, like, man, I've never thought of this before. Every time you pray, your prayers have to go through enemy territory. And as I've already said, God is a spirit. He's in the spiritual realm. And we're living in a physical body, in a physical realm. And what God has to do, the answer has to come into the physical realm. And there has to be a war that takes place for it to come into the physical realm. You see, the answer comes to believe and receive. The answer comes to hear. But it has to manifest into the physical realm. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you got to go against the enemy. Tell him to lose some things. Tell him to get behind you.
take his hands off your blessings. I do this. And some of you, again, you might think, well, preacher, you've fallen off your rocker. You've hit your head one too many times. Listen, we're in a spiritual battle. Just let you know, I got a financial blessing today. Someone called me up yesterday and said, preacher, I've got the money I want to give you. Felt like this is what the Lord wants me to do. And I sense that you need it. Would this be okay? I said, absolutely. Can I bring it by tomorrow? I said, yes. God knows what we need. God takes care of us. And I'm living out what I'm telling you. Listen, now I have to go, and every time I'd have to tell the devil, say, you loose my finances. Take your hands off of it. I'm blessed. I'm telling you that God answers prayer and God moves and God does things like that. Amen? Let's move on. I've got a couple of things. I've got about 10 minutes left. Let's see what we can finish. Number four, obedience. This goes back to what I talked about moments ago, acting in faith, but obedience. 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If you want to have an effective prayer life and see God do great things, you've got to keep His commandments. You've got to obey Him. We cannot live in rebellion and think, I'm just going to go out here and do my own thing, live how I want to live, and God's going to answer our prayers. Now, I know we're not perfect. I know we don't always get it right. But you can't purposely disobey God, go against His word, and think that God's going to answer your prayer. In fact, obeying God demonstrates whether or not we love God or not. Obedience is a reflection of our love. Amen? John 14:15 says this, if you love me, keep my commands. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Again, you can't live in disobedience and expect God to answer your prayers. We're not pleasing Him, our praying will not be effective. Number five, be persistent. Be persistent. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, it will be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. The words ask, seek, and knock in the Greek, they're in a continuous tense, meaning we're to ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. In other words, you're to persevere and persist in prayer. Now hear me. This doesn't mean that we beg and plead with God until we wear Him out and He gives in. We're not trying to manipulate God to do what we want Him to do. But you should persist in prayer, meaning don't give up praying just because God doesn't answer the first time. Does that make sense? So many times we approach prayer like a beggar and we grovel before God thinking that if we can just find the right words and the right phrases and just say it the right way, God's going to answer. That's vain repetition, and Jesus talked against that and said, hey, don't pray that way. In other words, like some people pray the rosary, Catholic people pray the rosary, and you've got certain religions who have certain prayers and mantras that they pray over and over and over again. Jesus warned against those things and said, hey, you don't pray that way. That's empty phrases. Don't heap up those kinds of things because God doesn't want that kind of praying. But it's okay to pray for something again and again, day after day, because it shows that you really mean business. It shows that you really want what you're asking for. Now, there are certain times that you may pray once, you get through, and you don't pray again. There have been times in my life where I have prayed one time. I prayed in faith. I knew I broke through. God answered, and I didn't pray no more. But there have been times that I have prayed and pressed in and had to go back again another day and pray and press in until God answered.
And that's what persevering and being persistent is. You just pray and pray and pray until God answers. Now, this doesn't mean you spend an hour trying to pray for the same thing over and over again. You start getting into vain repetition when you do that. And that's what some people do. Because here's the thing. You'll have some people who'll spend an hour praying for the same thing and a week will go by and they'll come back and try to pray for it again. You need to be consistent. You'd be better off to spend a few minutes praying today for it and tomorrow praying again for it and the next day just being consistent in it. Is that making sense? You see, what we pray for persistently demonstrates what's important to us, and it shows what we're really believing God for. I illustrate it like this. If your child asks you just once for a bicycle, then forgets about it and never brings up the subject again, how badly do you think they want a bicycle? Not that bad. Well, here's the thing. If a person says, I need a financial blessing, and they pray for it once and never pray for it again, they must not need a financial blessing all that bad. A person says, I need healing, and they only pray for it once and never pray for it again, they must not need it too awful bad. You got to be persistent. Amen? You got to persevere. Now again, there may be times you pray, you get through once, and you get it. There may be times that when it comes to certain things such as healing that you pray once and God does it. But there are some things that you're going to have to persist. Again, provision, financial needs, that there may be times that you have to persist in that thing because God's working through people to bring that need, and people can be rebellious and stubborn, and you got to get things out the way, hindrances out the way, before the need can ever come. So most of the time, you're going to have to persevere. Be persistent in praying. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. And then finally, forgive others. This is a biggie. You want to receive from God, you got to be a forgiving person. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Notice that. They've got something against you. You don't have anything against them. They have something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. If our relationship with others isn't right, our relationship with God isn't right. And our prayers are going to be hindered. In fact, I believe it's in the book of Peter, 1st or 2nd Peter. It talks about husbands and wives. That husbands, if there's something, but we have something against our wives, that our prayers will be hindered. Holding on to grudges, bitterness, past hurts will hinder you from praying effectively. But more than hindering your prayers, God says if you withhold forgiveness, He says He'll withhold forgiveness from you. That's what it says. That's some tough stuff to read. So as I close, I want to say that there's so much more that could be said about receiving from God. For example, unconfessed sin is a hindrance to receiving from God. Again, we're not perfect, but when you knowingly have sin in your life that you're not willing to deal with, it's a hindrance. Also, you have to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. If you're going to go to the Father, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Listen, without Jesus, you can't go to God in prayer. You cannot go to Him in prayer. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 16, verse 23, 24. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. And we pray in his name, we pray in his authority. Think about that. The name of Jesus gives us authority to access heaven and make requests of God. Without Jesus, you can't go to the Father. Without Jesus, you can't access heaven's resources. You have to go in the name of Jesus. Whether you start your prayer, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, or you finish your prayer in the name of, listen, the name of Jesus, it's not a mantra and it's not a magical incantation. You can say in the name of Jesus all you want to, but if you don't mean it from your heart, you're not getting anywhere. And I'm afraid sometimes we just say in the name of Jesus, amen, and we just tack it on just because that's what we've been taught. You need to mean it. You need to understand that that's your authority and your access. And that's what makes prayer powerful. That's your authority to go to God. So I close with this. You can pray and you can receive. How many believe that? You can pray and you can receive. It's God's desire to hear you and to answer you. And I hope tonight that you've learned something that maybe you hadn't learned before. I hope tonight that maybe your eyes and your understanding were kind of opened up a little bit. I hope tonight that, especially as we talked about Daniel, you just kind of understood something you maybe didn't understand before, that it's not God's fault that prayers aren't getting answered. That we're in a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare, and the enemy's trying to stop answers from coming into our lives. But we can take authority over it. And we can speed answers along if we'll fight. Amen. I want you to stand with me all over the house.